Right.
Hello and welcome to the Reverbathon special Albion Raw with me, Ailey Packham, and him, Alan Wares, here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on our podcast, and in the pub. Yes, this year we have left our studio behind and we are broadcasting live from the Hope and Ruin pub in Queen's Road here in Brighton. So, what is the Reverbathon? Well, here at Reverb, we pretty much run on fresh air and enthusiasm, and we rely on grants, sponsorships, and listener donations to keep us going. Every year, to celebrate Reverb's birthday, we have a Reverbathon. And in order to keep Radio Reverb fresh, continuous, and free from irritating advertisements, it's easy
irritating
for me to say.
Irritating 80s as well.
Yeah. Please visit RadioReverb.com and hit that great big donate button. Anything you can give us is greatly appreciated. And now we've got some great prizes as well.
We do. If anyone wants to donate, I say do hit that big donate button. And anyone who does do so can be entered into our free prize draw where we can win this season's signed shirt. Everyone has signed it, even the rubbish players. So if you want to make it's not.
Can you narrow that one down now?
Well, there's a couple of good players have signed as well, and I think we've looked at it a couple of times. It hasn't been washed, but it's not a bid. It is a donation. So if you want to donate, you do have a chance of winning the shirt. We've also got a very kind prize donated by Flowers Unlimited of Brighton in Portland Road, Hove. They've given us some flowers and champagne, and one lucky donor will be winning that prize. But the bigger the prize, the better chance you've got of winning that prize.
Yeah, and if you listen to this on the podcast, you can still donate by visiting RadioReverb.com and hitting that great big donate button. It's quite difficult to miss.
I just want to say that that deadline will be Friday the 13th of March at midday. So that's when we'll be looking to that. So if you still want to donate, you can donate at any time during the year. Yeah. But if you want to donate in order to win that prize, then make sure it's at midday, Friday the 13th of March.
And if you when you do that, can you please just note it, Albion Raw, so they know where it's
absolutely
coming from and what drawer it's going into. So then, on with the show.
Were you expecting a fanfare there? Because you really weren't getting one.
I don't want your fanfare, Al, that's for sure. No. So, here we go, then. Well, with no win for the Albion in 2020, but it was another point on the road to the total after a hard-fought draw at Wolves. To be honest, it was a game where not a lot actually happened, but what was noteworthy was a long-awaited debut for Alexis McAllister. It's nice to have something positive to talk about after, let's face it, we were pretty much on the floor after the defeat to them who cannot be named.
Well, Crystal Palace.
Week. Oh, God.
We're in a pub, we can say what we want.
I know.
Within
it's
reason.
Just swearing. Another positive.
I'll tell you what, it really feels weird broadcasting from a pub.
I know.
Isn't it? I really like it. I think that we should move studios to actually just dot it around pubs around the city all the time. I think so. Andy Bass is with us. Andy's going to finish his intro in a minute, but this is great being in a pub broadcasting, isn't it?
Especially this pub. It's a very good pub.
Yeah.
But apart from I don't actually have a beer at the moment, so I think that needs to be
rectified. I think that's a good thing, actually.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, another positive was that the under-23s have made it to the Sussex Senior Cup final after getting past a feisty Worthing in a 3-2 win on the semi-final this week, which we're all at.
That was good fun. It was a good game. Well, let's put it this way, Andy. We've all been to see Worthing. We've been to see the Albion play this season. Tell us about what your thoughts of the game at Culver Road back on Tuesday.
The better side in the first half, but I think in the end the Albion just their extra quality and fitness maybe just counted in the end. But it was a terrific game.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well. Obviously, that was the voice of Andy Bass. I'm here with Alan Wares as well. But as well as being sponsored, as usual, by oldfootballshirts.com, we have some auxiliary sponsors for this show.
We have. We put the word out loud and clear to our listener, and he has responded. So thank you very much indeed to the Butler's Wine Cellar. Henry Butler, he's a friend of the show. He's a friend of yours, actually. Let's face it. He's a wine cellar. Of course he's a friend of yours.
Well, yeah, and actually Henry's just started doing a podcast as well.
Is there anyone who hasn't?
Well, you know,
I'm not thinking of Russell Guyver here of Seagulls Over London. The Butler Wine Cellar is a local independent shop which has recently completed 40 years of serving quality wines to the Brighton community. starting with Wardy, still going on with Murray. Come and see us at St George's Road and Queen's Park Road. He is running strong, he is running pink, he is running lovely. Thank you very much, Henry Butler, for your support and kind sponsorship.
And we've also been sponsored by First Financial Services. Have you got their blurb there?
I do. Whether you're acquiring a property, looking to remortgage or expand your buy-to-let portfolio, our experienced mortgage advisors can help. We have access to over 70 lenders and offer a one-to-one advisory service to get you the most suitable deal. We know that when it comes to buying your new property, you will weigh up the options to find the best that suits you. So why should your mortgage be any different? Contact Dan Maskell by visiting www.financeplanning.co.uk. Dan, thank you very much indeed for your support of the Albion Roar and of Radio Reverb. Fantastic.
Okay, and we've also been sponsored by Matt Cunliffe.
This is a last minute fella, isn't it?
He's
great. You're going to have to tell this story.
Well, I met him at the Network Albion Met breakfast meeting this Thursday, and we had a chat. He's actually just moved down to the area from London. For his sins, he's actually an Arsenal fan, so that's going to be fun.
We'll happily take their money.
So that's going to be fun next weekend for him. But he is a plumber, and as you know, plumbers are very expensive usually.
They do look down the pan a bit.
But to anyone who's listening to this, you can contact Matt Plum. We'll give you all the contact details shortly. But he's from Plum One Plum All, which if you read it properly, it says Plum Bone, which I really love. And he is giving you a 15% discount if you just mention the Reverbathon or the Albion Roar. So we'll all the contact details of that up shortly.
And our final corporate sponsor for this year's Reverbathon is, we mentioned him earlier, thanks very much to David Costa of Flowers Unlimited, the official florist to Brighton and Hove Albion. From their shop in Portland Road, they deliver flowers, chocolates, balloons, alcohol, hampers and gifts. Sorry, did I say alcohol? And gifts locally. Locally and all over the world. This sounds like a hell of a shop to work in. Call 01273 796 000 or check out the website www.flowersunlimitedbrighton.co.uk. Andy, give us a break. How's your football supporting universe been lately? Albion and other stuff aside.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, like last weekend was just quite frankly awful. I just relived it this morning, and I'm mystified as to how we didn't win last week.
I've got my Palace review here, and it just says, "Oh God."
Yeah, that's basically a good summation, and we can move on. I mean, and I even think like yesterday, which was much more positive, we still exhibited some of the same issues, and I'm afraid, you know, there might be one or two players that might want to realise that the goal isn't actually 20 feet high, it's only about 12 feet or whatever. And
24 feet by 8 feet, but everyone knows
8
that.
Feet. So kick the ball down lower, please.
Yeah, hard and accurate.
Mr. March.
Yes.
Mentioning no names.
Well, we're going to talk about him later on when we're talking about the Wolves game, but I mean, let's talk about the Palace one first. Now, and it's basically, again, our season in microcosm, and we can't keep making the same excuses about the fact
not.
That it's the performances has been fine, but it's just the finishing.
Yeah, I mean, the time for apologising for all of this is over. Just sort it out, you know, just shoot better.
Yeah.
And finish. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's very frustrated by it. In my deflation last weekend, I kind of actually forgot how well we actually played. We created some excellent chances, but the finishing was just abysmal.
Yep. Yeah,
I
mean,
we should be fair that Palace did create some good chances as well. Most of them that fell to Benteke, which was
thankful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can sort of laugh at him, but the pass he put in for IU for their goal was absolutely superb. It split three players. So he was of value to them, and that was like one moment of clinical stuff. And again, maybe, you know, Ryan, I'm sure Matty's not feeling too great about that goal, so I don't think we need to put the boot into him. I think he'll be doing it to himself. And it was just frustrating. We just needed to make the most of our opportunities, and we didn't. We created loads. We actually played pretty well. I thought we were quite dynamic going forward, but the end result just wasn't there. The end product wasn't there.
No, it is like that. We've seen it so many times. We saw it against Wolves. We've seen it. I mean, pick a game, and the number of times you said during the season, AD, that, oh, you know, we've left so many points out on the pitch. We left 3 points out there. I'm not saying that Palace were there to be beaten, but I thought they were extremely mediocre at best. Mr. Tumble was also becoming Mr. Tickle, becoming Mr. Flob. flobbelob.
Yeah, I wasn't really wanting to talk about that, Al, but seeing as you've brought it up, like he did. how did he stay on the pitch? I mean, in this modern day, on cameras, absolutely area. If you're hocking a loogie at another player, then surely that's a straight red card.
Well, was he doing it in his general direction? Or did it? I mean, it wasn't quite. The Dutch fella on it was.
Rudy Voller.
It wasn't
Rijkaard on Voller, was it? I think he was quite a distance away. I mean, you know, full credit to Scolosso for his trolling, but I think it was just a flob in his general direction. It's not a nice thing. I mean,
he was looking at him, though. He was looking directly at him and angrily. So
yeah, but hang on. Which face are we talking about here? Don't forget, he does have two. So we've got this whole thing, and I know you wanted to talk about this, but we're not going to on the fact that none of us are experts. But we do have this ludicrous thing of none of the players are shaking hands with this canary virus thing. And yet, what's the next thing that happens? You're in each other's faces, snorking greenies at you. I think that shaking hands is actually the least of your problems.
Yeah, this is true. We are going to talk about that a little bit later, very, very briefly. But you know it's not going to be your day, Andy, when you have a goal-bound header cleared off the line by your own player who then gets given offside.
Just about summed it up, yep. Really. I mean, that just summed up our day, and I think and our mood afterwards. It was just like, you know, what else could
score.
We do?
I mean, it really is a case of, I mean, it's not the thing is, if we'd have won, it would have been deserved on account of the fact that it's not as though we were overrun. It's not as though we lost the midfield battle. It's not as though we were weak in every department, because we weren't. It's just that once you've got that thing of the shooting sorted, we actually look a decent side.
Well, yeah, it's the build-up play, Andy, isn't it? The build-up play is absolutely fine, but it's just the final third. They just don't. Everything's too slow.
Well, I think the move for March's great chance in the first half was possibly one of the best moves of the season.
Yeah.
And that miss gets worse every time you look at it. I mean, he.
Well, don't look at it then.
Well, I don't think
Solly.
I don't think Solly was looking at it either. No. I mean, I think that was a problem.
I think every single Crystal Palace fan was, though.
Yeah.
No, it is frustrating. It just reminds me. I know if we're talking about quality here, one of my favourite films is something called All the President's Men, Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. It's about Watergate. And bear with me here. There's a scene in there where Hoffman has written an article when he's getting the editor Ben Bradley to have a look at it, played by Jason Robards. And, you know, kind of quite snottily and sarcastically, Bradley's looking through this stuff and he's realising it's not on the money. And he just turns around to Dustin Hoffman and he says, "You haven't got it. You haven't got it." And that's sometimes what I feel about some of our players. They haven't got it. And so it's kind of frustrating that when you see Mopai having his one-on-one, when you see Solly March 6 inches out from the goal, and you still see, especially at the time when you know that shooting is actually a major part of the problem that we've got at the moment, and they almost go out their way to prove it.
Yeah, it's immensely frustrating. I just think it's, again, I think like last year's, it's like an element of like almost but not quite about this team. It's like, it's not that this is a bad team or we've got bad players. It's just, They're only 95% there. That, you know, the program is not fully loaded yet. Mm. We've still got that last bit of the blue bar to finally complete. You know,
and then realise that you got the ZX81 version anyway.
Well, it's I mean, you know, we could have been celebrating an excellent victory last week for the want of. Yeah. A bit of finishing. I mean,
and it would have been very, very important, massively. And everyone's heads went down after that, and the relegation word was actually taken very, very seriously. But we don't want to talk about that right now, because talking about Crystal Palace and losing to them isn't going to help you donate to the Reverbathon now.
It isn't. This is Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. It is a community radio station. It's 13 years old, and like any 13-year-old, it's snotty, it's stroppy. It doesn't do as it's told.
Are you 13?
Well, I was once. You might have skipped it. And like any 13-year-old, it's insightful, funny, unpredictable, inventive, and occasionally downright willful. And we think we know everything. But in order to keep Reverb fresh, apart from getting it to actually wash under its armpits, continuous and free of irritating advertisements, AD, we're looking for sponsorship to help keep us going. It needs to pay for rent, equipment, finances, training, etc., etc. To mark this anniversary, it's actually March the 28th is the anniversary of the radio station. We are holding a Reverbathon. It's an all-day fundraiser for the station, broadcasting live for 11 and a half hours straight from the Hope and Ruin here in Queen's Road, where it's now sunny, where we should be outside. So if you do fancy helping support this brilliant community asset, just go to radioreverb.com, hit the donate button, and if you happen to hit an extra zero at the end of your donation, we will not be complaining.
And don't forget, by doing that, you have a chance to be entered into the draw to win the signed Brighton shirt, which is currently behind us, and flowers and champagne, as denoted from
Flowers Unlimited. Unlimited. Thank you, David Costa.
And I should mention that the signed shirt was actually donated by the club as well.
So. Yes, it was. They were good enough to let us have that. I think there might be a run on them, but, you know, we've got one.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about the future a little bit here, because...
It's only just begun.
It's only just begun. But we have... We've mentioned it earlier. We went to see the under-23s play against Worthing on Tuesday night at Lancing. And it was a big crowd... mostly supporting Worthing, admittedly.
Well, the thing is, it's also like those that when we used to comment on going to the Dripping Pan. It's also one of those. And Andy made a big mistake here by saying when we're outside Culver Road, oh, it's quite warm tonight. Get inside. It's like there's a something you walk through, this barrier, this bar that walk through, and it immediately drops 6 degrees.
Yeah, Andy, you do need to get some more clothes, because you're exactly the same at Woodside Road last week as well.
It was freezing.
But it's nice to go to Culver Road. It's good to see the Albion future. And you do get to wonder, okay, what level are the under-23s at? It's the closest we've got to a reserve side. You don't have the reserve teams anymore. It is all about getting the kids going through. So we have a first 11, which is actually a first 18, and that's it. So the days of seeing Steve Foster and Gordon Smith playing at Peacehaven, because that's where the reserves were playing that particular week, are long gone, that kind of thing. You're not going to get Dale Stevens turning up at Burgess Hill anymore. So it's the under-23s, that's who we get to see. And there's an awful lot of talent there within that group, isn't there, AD?
Yeah, there is. And but I mean, we talk about pathway a lot on this show, Andy. And obviously, we've seen Steve Alzatti make the breakthrough. We've seen Aaron Connolly make the breakthrough, although both of those seem to have disappeared recently. Out of the players that you saw on Tuesday night, and obviously it's pretty much the same side that started against Aston Villa in the League Cup as well, who do you think is the next off the production line?
Well, I really like Jenks in the middle. I think he's a really, he just looks a very mature player for his age. Hayden Roberts, obviously, I think looks again very another one off the defensive production line. But for me, the most exciting player was Yappy.
He's a cartoon player, isn't he?
He was amazing. I mean, he's just so fast. And they just thought, yeah, the phrase raw talent was kind of invented for a player like that. Clearly, very, very fast. Technically quite good. I think sometimes his feet are going quicker than his head. but the potential is clearly there. And I thought the overall style of play that they adopted was excellent. It was very measured. They looked very calm, collective. I thought they looked very fit. And I think in the end, I think that made the difference in the game as the game went into extra time. I think because Worthing were absolutely excellent, and I think for the first sort of 40-50 minutes or so, I thought they were the better side.
Even when they went down to 10 men, Worthing were excellent,
yeah,
weren't they?
But in the end, I mean, and that's why it was a really good game, because it was really taken seriously by both sides, both giving it their all.
And of course, Yappy did score, if you believe the Lancing Stadium announcer.
Yeah, you can't really mistake him though, can you? I mean, it is that thing of running around like Speedy Gonzales, actually.
Absolutely.
Doing everything, going nowhere, forgetting to take the ball with him, that kind of thing.
But I should mention that when Worthing scored, it was their number seven, Rhys Meekins, that scored, not our number seven, Yappy.
Well, no. Rhys is a very good player, and we've managed to get to watch him quite a bit this season when we've not been at the Albion.
I was quite impressed with the Worthing goalkeeper, and now let's face it, it's not fair for me to actually comment on anyone's sveltness or inherent sort of... if anyone actually does look like, say, Bruno, you're not going to mistake him for a goalpost. I don't think you've got this issue with the goalkeeper. He was carrying some timber, and yeah, I thought he had a blinder.
He did. It was. And he thoroughly enjoyed it.
If you I just don't know his name, that's all.
Well, if you read his social media post afterwards, he very much enjoyed it. So, yeah, it was
It was absolutely, brilliant.
And talking to Worthing fans afterwards on the train home, that sort of like huge, long schlep home. You know, I think that the Worthing fans did enjoy it. They saw their team play well. And the point I was going to make earlier that I sort of fell apart from was, you think, okay, the this is the Albion's reserve side or the closest we got to it. What level are they at? So if you consider somewhere like Barcelona B or you know, the various Spanish and Italian clubs that have B sides, they have to play in their second division because that's the level they're at. They can't go to the top division. We don't have that rule. We don't have that law. You can't have two clubs in one league. So where do the under-23s at? And I think it's fair to say that they can compete quite comfortably with the top of tier 7 side, maybe even tier 6 on a good day. I mean, don't get me wrong, most of that lot, they competed quite well against Aston Villa in the League Cup. But whereas a good under 23 side, we're probably talking about tier 6, tier 7.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I think the Worthing fans were quite upset, actually. I mean, you mentioned the goalkeeper there, but they were hoping that Carl Rushworth was going to be able to start that game, who's the goalkeeper they've got on loan from Brighton at the moment.
I'm surprised that they don't have the rules. I mean, when you have that thing of playing against your parent club, it's not automatic. You can play against your parent club. It's just the protocol is now that you put in the agreement not to.
But it's Rushworth that's been amusingly linked to Barcelona of late. So, but it's, I mean, he is great though, isn't he?
Yes, very good, very good. And just goes to show that, you know, the future is bright for the Albion. I actually, there was quite an interesting blog post by, I think, the Tweeting Seagull, who actually asked the question, are the Albion paying the price for too much forward planning and kind of ignoring
the
now at the moment? And whilst I don't necessarily agree wholeheartedly with that opinion, I think with it is it, for me it's frustrating that all the stuff around the club is going so well, but really like the core element is now in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you were mentioning little things like the pitch the other day.
The pitch looks...
Oh, against Palace, the
pitch has looked poor for a long time, and I think that's really affecting our play because we like to play it along the deck. We're not a route one side. We like to pass it, and you know that pitch I think is an issue for us now rather than our opponents.
I think so. But yeah, I mean, and that's why you probably got to see the under-23s enjoying themselves playing on a plastic pitch. Because actually talking...
Again, Andy was talking about the pitch at Lasnier, how good that was.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's excellent. Well, both at Culver Road and Woodside Road, both those pitches are excellent.
But then that then leads us on to another point of people enjoying playing on Woodside Road. Because on May the 15th...
Nicely done.
We have the second leg of the Robert Eaton Memorial Fund match. The first leg will be on April the 24th at Croydon FC. Palace fans against Brighton fans for the first leg, 24th of April at Croydon. Second leg, Brighton fans against Palace fans in the... It's not a replay because it will be... it won't be away counts double. It will be a straight 90 minutes, both games. And if the scores are still level at the end of that, it's penalties. And let's face it, that's what's going to happen because that's what happens.
It's REMP.
It's REMP, absolutely. So, yes, 24th of April and May the 15th. One on a real pitch, one on a plastic pitch. And it's going to be fun. So please come along. Five to get in. Please support it. Okay. But ahead of that, which is Friday the 13th of March, which is next Friday, we've got the 10th annual REMP quiz. We've had to move... from the Mayo Wing Baxter Lounge, we're now going to be in the Heineken Lounge. So you'll have to walk if you're coming from the station an extra 50 yards. I do apologise. No, I'm not. But do come along. Come and support us. Again, a fiver to get in. And when I finish thinking of all the questions to really annoy you, then maybe I might be able to get out of there alive.
Okay, well, you are listening to the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and, of course, on our podcast. This is the Reverbathon, Al. We want your donations to help keep this brilliant radio station going.
Yes, so give us your money. Just go to radioreverb.com, hit the donate button, drain your bank account. If not, we'll come round anyway, turn you upside down, empty your pockets, and maybe if you really aren't doing that, we'll come and burn your kitchen down.
Okay, and we are delighted to have extra sponsors for this show. So we have Matt Cunliffe, the plumber from Plum One Plum All.
We have David Costa from Flowers Unlimited. We thank Henry Butler from Butler's Wine Cellar. We'll thank Dan Maskell from Finance Planning, and of course our good friend Phil Shelley from oldfootballshirts.com.
And I do have a shirt of the week for you, which I'm just going to pass to Andy and to Al, because I have two copies of it.
Two copies, okay. We are being frivolous here now we're in the pub.
Well, this is the thing. My daughter was actually meant to be here, and I was going to get her to describe this. But
she'll just mention pineapples and stinky...
She wanted to talk about flying chickens, actually.
But, okay. So what we're looking at here is a white shirt with some red and yellow trim, a huge great big Western Union ad slapped across it, five badges at the top, which is a bit greedy, and an Noir Petrie 1921. Andrew, any idea? I'm looking at the badge here, and I think I might have an idea here.
Not a clue, but it's very nice. I like it.
Do you not think it's a bit sort of much going on with the sponsors?
Yeah, but it is, but because it's a nice white shirt and you've got that lovely sort of like skew whiff V going across the middle of it.
Something like the Polyfiller logo, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of takes your eye.
I haven't thought about that.
I'm going to guess, just because what I think I can make out on the badge, it's not AS Roma, is it?
It is not Roma, no.
Okay. And actually, where I see the word Barcelo at the top there, then it really gives it away that it's not Italy at all. So it's someone from Spain. So I'm...
Of course it is. We're in a pub and we're doing this in front of people. Of course it's not going to be in English.
Go for it. Well, you know. Okay, someone from Catalan, I'm going to say Espanol.
It is not from Spain, but you're...
It's Hispanic.
It is Hispanic. So
go for it.
Here you go. This is your Reverbathon shirt of the week. And this is a 2007 to 2008 away shirt of Costa Rican side Club Sport Herediano.
Who knew?
They are nicknamed Los Florenses, which is the florists, which is quite apt.
The florists?
Yeah. Nothing to do with David Costa, clearly. Uh-huh. They play at the 8,700 capacity Estadio Eladio Rosabal Cordero. They play in the Liga FPD, which is the top flight in Costa Rica, and they currently sit third in the table. They have never been relegated, having been founder members of the league in 1921. Their first ever kit was bought at the Thomas Salazar's Central Market, thanks to the financial donation by Joaquin Tortita Guatareres.
You are making this up, aren't you?
I am not. Well, Phil might be. Okay. A dozen shirts were bought, similar to those worn in the army of the Federico Tirinoco government, and the top was a greyish colour with white shorts. And then in 1926, the club bought a job lot of kit meant for the Spanish Gymnastic Society, and the colours of red and yellow were adapted and remain to this day. Paolo Wanchope is the only obvious link to the UK, having played and managed the florist. Apart from that, there seems to be, well, nothing. As for a Brighton link, I've had to dig really deep. It turns out that former Radio Reverb death metal presenter Jose Came Podrida used to play for the reserves for the San Jose side Paraguas Motosierra before moving to Portslade and taking a turn on the decks at the Radio Reverb dungeon. He now plays professional backgammon for St Dunstan's in Ovingdean. Thank you very much, Phil.
He's made that up. I'm turning around to our producer. I'm just going to briefly explain the setup here, because we've obviously got a lot of shows going on during the day here. We've got plenty of sort of electronic music ready to play, and we've got the decks and everything. We're just standing in front of here, in front of, I don't know, there must be 250 people in the pub at the moment. And Ben's playing this, and AD has just made a reference to the fact that a former Costa Rican footballer ended up being a DJ on Reverb. Is this true, Ben?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
That means yes.
I'll take that.
I'll take that in anyone's language.
Just very quickly, before we move on, we've got a new season ticket holder with us. He's someone who's been on the show before, but he's also a returnee to Radio Reverb. Phil, can I bring you in here? Go to Phil, he's back on the show. Come on here. You get closer, because I'm going to have to stick this microphone under your nose. One, welcome back to Reverb. But two, what are you doing back at Reverb?
Well, I spent a time off with a separate project. I was trying to write a book. I mean, I succeeded in writing the book, but then I decided it wasn't publishable.
What was it in? What language was it in then?
It was in English. It was a personal memoir, and it was kind of therapy in a way. And when I'd finished writing it, I thought, first of all, no one knows who I am. I'm not a YouTube superstar, unlike my wife, Mama Cherry. And I went into a bookshop when I'd finished the thing, and I looked at all the kind of biographies there, and they were either by people who were famous through what you might call conventional means, and they were kind of, you know, let's say social media stars, and that's a new thing comparatively. And I thought, do I tick either of those boxes? And the answer, of course, is no.
Really?
So you start up a YouTube channel?
Well, no, I mean, I'm being modest, maybe, but getting a book is hard work. I mean, I'm a librarian by trade, so I do know some of it from the inside.
But I do like the fact you've got a pub T-shirt on.
Well, yes, and it's the Foghorn who are sponsoring my Rock's Rich Tapestry show.
I'm going to say, yes, there's Rock's plug, Rich guys. Tapestry. Tell us about that, Phil.
Well, it's a term that I think NME used to use way back, kind of slightly ironically, to indicate, you know, that, well, basically, the plethora of music that's around. And because I am now 67 years old, I've
no! Don't look a day over 66, Phil.
I wear it well.
and along comes someone with a his and hers T-shirt on who doesn't need a microphone. Hello, Mama Cherry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy International Women's Day, ladies. I know this is a football show, but where's our lady representation?
I think it's just turned up. we'll ask you about the Wolves game just in a moment, Sharita.
Wait, okay. She's colour coordinated.
But sorry, back to Reverb. It is the Reverbathon today. Now you're not you don't have a show this afternoon, do you?
No, the next show will be the next repeat of my current show is going to be next Wednesday at 2 p.m.
And now that you're back, tell us what your show is.
Well, Rock's Rich Tapestry literally is what it says on the tin. It's every period of music. If you've heard my show before, you'll know the kind of stuff that I like. But I try and kind of play a variety. So you're going to get... I mean, I played Memphis Mini a couple of shows ago. Billie Holiday. I play some contemporary stuff. Track I'm really...
You play Coldplay?
No. No, I don't. And if I did, I'd beat them.
Yeah. Now, Charita, you are Brighton royalty. So we're delighted to welcome you to the Raw Towers here. Tell us about what you're up to now. Obviously, you had a brilliant restaurant, which everyone loved.
And then you didn't.
But nothing to do with Gordon Ramsay at all. But you're still doing stuff, doing pop-ups, and your YouTube channel is fantastic.
Yes, I've got a YouTube channel, and I have literally just hit 100,000 K, so I got my plaque.
I thought you were going to say 100,000 decibels.
Well, I've done that too.
Can you say you've got a plaque? Is that a blue plaque you stick outside the front door?
No, I wish I did. No, they give you this little silver plaque when you reach 100,000. So I'm so pleased. But what I'm lacking is the UK support. Come on, people, support me, especially you people here in Brighton. I'm still doing pop-ups. I'm still doing whatever I can to help the homeless. I'm still fostering. I'm a busy, busy life.
You are busy, and your food is utterly, utterly delicious.
We need to have you on the show to test against Henry Butler's wines, for example.
That would be really good. We haven't done one of those for a while.
Well done. Yeah, we've done.
And Andy's eyes just lit up.
Yeah, I'm in for the wine.
Okay, you are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We are broadcasting live from the Hope and Ruin. Adie's family have just turned up, so who knows what's going to happen. We've got Andy Bass alongside us. We've got Mama Cherry. We've got Goaty Phil. We've got everyone joining us. But today is Reverbathon Day. It's also International Women's Day. So, Sharita, I'm going to get you to read that. Could you read that for me? While she fishes out her glasses.
Okay. This March... Radio Reverb 97.2 FM is 16 years old, and like any 16-year-old, we're funny, insightful, unpredictable, inventive, and occasionally downright wild. It probably doesn't say wild, it says willful. But and we think we know bloody everything. You want me to carry on? In order to keep Reverb fresh, continuous, and free of irritating advertisements, we're looking for some sponsorship. Come on, people, dig deep and help us grow by giving, paying for the rent, the equipment, the licenses, training. To mark this anniversary, we'll be holding a Reverbathon fundraiser broadcasting live for 12 hours straight. Through live from the Hope and Ruin pub.
It's where you are now.
Oh, it's where I'm at right now. And Queens Road, Brighton, on Sunday, the 8th of March, which is now, which is today.
And if you really do want to help, please, that was brilliantly done, Sharita. Yeah. Done like an
Just send your money.
And if to do
I thought
that,
she was going to go with the full Geldof then, but thank God for that. Was,
just go to radioreverb.com and hit the donate button and make sure that it's bare minimum triple numbers there.
And many of you already have, and you Charita will be in with a chance of winning this brilliant signed Brighton shirt, which we've got hanging up behind us, and also a chance to win flowers as donated from Flowers Unlimited. I should mention the shirt was donated by Brighton Hove Albion Football Club. We've also got other sponsors. We have Matt Cunliffe from Plum One, Plum All.
Who's actually just made it down here from Arsenal. Do you think he's going to turn tide and actually be a Brighton fan in the end?
But, you know, I mean, he does all your plumbing needs, big or small. And he will give a 15% discount to anyone, any Raw listeners, or if you mention the Albion Raw or the Reverbathon.
You so bend if you want to. The lady's not for bending. But, okay, so we've got Henry, we mentioned him earlier, the Butler's Wine Cellar. Henry Butler, thank you very much, is a local independent wine shop, which has recently completed 40 years of serving quality wines to Brighton's community. I spent the amount of time I've been watching the Albion, and I still feel just as drunk as drinking all that wine.
But do you remember when Henry came in that time? He was the first person we did the pie tasting with a vintner.
And we got very drunk.
He brought in some absolutely fabulous, actually Mark Johnson, who's sitting in the corner over there somewhere.
I think
he very much enjoyed it.
We're not going to get him forget it.
But he brought a fabulous wine called One Gill. And he pronounced it like David Coleman. It was brilliant.
1-0. He started with Ward and he's still going strong with Murray. And who knows, he might even sort of carry on beyond Connolly. So go and see him at St George's Road and Queen's Park Road. And Dan Maskell of Finance Planning has also decided that he thinks that Reverb is worth continuing. Thank you very much indeed, Dan. Whether you're acquiring a property, looking to remortgage or expand your buy-to-let portfolio, our experienced mortgage advisors can help. We have access to over 70 lenders and offer a one-to-one advisory service to get the most suitable deal for you. We know that when it comes to buying your new property, you will weigh up the options and find the one that best suits you. So why should your mortgage be any different? Contact Dan Maskell by visiting www.financeplanning.co.uk. Plus also, as mentioned as well, David Costa from Flowers Unlimited, who will actually send as gifts absolutely anything. Maybe I'll just stop short of a Sherman tank just in case the neighbours get upset. But do call 01273 796 000 or check out the website www.flowersunlimitedbrighton.co.uk.
And of course, you can donate by going to radioreverb.com and hitting that donate button and make sure you mention the Albion Raw.
Yes, you
okay,
do.
We are in a pub and we are looking at a kitchen.
We're in a pub, Andy, and I'm not having a drink. You're all right.
Yeah, we're looking at a kitchen and we are hungry like the wolves, Andy Bass.
Oh, I suppose that's a reference to yesterday.
Yes, it is.
It was actually, yeah.
Well, we managed to snaffle ourselves a point and it was a good point. Again, we continue to be a proverbial thorn in Wolves' paw. It was very good. It was they were pretty tight at the back. They did again create some good opportunities to score, which we didn't take. We had one over the bar. We had one, you know, where a cross wasn't met. But again, created some promising opportunities. Against a very good team that has just, quite frankly, been performing amazingly considering they've played about 46 games already this season.
Yeah. But Andy, as is traditional with this thing, I start with the team news. And the team news was, we're unchanged. That's only the third time that's happened this season.
Yeah, it was a big surprise for everybody because I think everybody thought, well, we played so badly last week. Why on earth would we select the same 11? But actually, on reflection, looking at our performance last week, I don't think it was as bad as we thought it was going to be. I don't think it was as bad as we thought it was, rather, because we did create some promising situations and we did create enough chances to win the game last week. So I can see why Potter wanted to, you know, have a little bit of continuity and just give the players another chance to prove themselves. And actually, I thought there was improved performances, particularly Aaron Moy. I thought played a little bit better.
And of course, the big news was that Alexis McAllister actually finally made it onto the bench. Well, and he got on the pitch, and he was impressive.
Well, you know, a little 10-minute cameo, couple of good free kicks, and a positive attitude. And yeah, maybe this could be quite interesting because Potter quite often starts a game with the team that finished the last one. So the subs that made it on for only 10 minutes might be kicking off next week against Arsenal.
But I mean, he only got 10 minutes, Al. But what he did, he was very direct. He was his free kicks were good, and it's exciting.
Well, it's one of those things that you can actually start a game playing with absolute panic, or you end up playing with no fear at all. Now, this is someone who's come in. It's a different culture. He's been effectively levered out of was Boca Juniors, wasn't it? Effectively levered out of Boca Juniors, and this was the club that he wanted to play for so long. So it's got to be the right move for him to be able to do this. Now, whether the extent to which the Albion stuck a gun to his head to do this, but he is here now. It's down to him to make it work. It's down to the club. It's down to everyone to make it work. And if that 10-minute cameo is anything to go by, then absolutely. Then we've got ourselves a new signing ahead of schedule. I'd be curious as to how he's going to fit in. But then Potter has so many different lineups and layouts and what have you that... you can be flexible. I mean, there could be end up being a game where you've got Trossard, McAllister and Gross playing in the same game. A bit silly because there's no one to finish it off, but hey, no one can shoot in our team anyway.
But Andy, the one standout player yesterday was Ibrahima.
Well, yeah, and he seems to have transformed himself from what he was when he originally joined us, when I think it was all flair and excitement and it's all the, you know, the big Bissouma song and the entertainment. And he's actually now turned out to be a really... good, hard-working midfielder. I wouldn't say, some people are saying he's a bit more of a defensive midfielder now. I'd just say industrious.
And not quite the yellow card in waiting.
Yeah, and you know, he gets his foot in, he's got pace to bring the ball out, but very impressive, and he seems to have almost reinvented himself a little bit, or maybe Potter's been working with him to change aspects of his game and make him a bit more of a central cog
in that attacking wheel. I was watching that game yesterday, and I did not see this performance from Bissouma coming, because he's not been great, really.
No, I thought he was actually excellent against Crystal Palace. He was one of the few that actually trying to get things going against an otherwise... Although they were still the better midfield against Crystal Palace, there was still... I mean, the Undertaker's in-joke, there must be about Aaron Moy getting man of the match for that game, because Eve Bissouma was the only one who seemed to be doing things. And this is what I was saying about not so much the yellow card in waiting. Bissouma and Zaha are, you know, wind-up merchants to each other. And I thought they were just going to sort of start kicking lumps out of each other. But Bissouma, he was in the middle. He was trying to make things happen. He was trying to make things move. And he was really good. Did exactly the same against Wolves. Is this the new Bissouma? Is this something we want to see? That is someone who is going to look to be that little bit more creative? Well, this is the player that we saw against in a very moribund Chris Hughton side. He's taken his time. He's lost his head a couple of times. He has been a yellow card, sometimes a red card in waiting. If this is the real Eve Bissouma, then, hey, we've got a really exciting player on our hands.
Yeah, because, Andy, there's a real energy about his performance yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's an energy that we were sort of expecting from his initial impact into the side. And then, like, last season, it definitely diminished. I mean, he had injury worries, and then I think the style of play and sort of under orders when he did play meant that we weren't getting the excitement out of him that we'd had when he began, and now he's kind of dialed it back a little bit, but there's still some of those forward moving elements to his game. It's just, again, I think a more mature player, decision making is a lot better from him now, and I think, you know, that's key. It keeps it, and he's just a bit more mobile than the rest of our midfield.
Still can't shoot though.
He still cannot shoot.
Well, to be fair, none of them can. If you're going to stick a blue and white striped shirt on, it means you can't shoot.
He's in good company there.
But there just seems to be this lack of confidence in front of goal at the moment.
No, it's a lack of talent.
I don't think it's a lack of talent now.
Because you have seen them shoot. You know, you've seen them score some worldies. Perhaps you do have to do it overhead. I don't know. But, I mean, again, against Palace... You know, my good friend Charlie sitting alongside me, you know, come on, Solly, repeat what you did in that friendly against Norwich. Repeat what you did for the England under-21s against Denmark. Just, you know, you can do it. You can stick it in the top corner. But, you know... You can do it once, you can do it again.
Andy, when I was writing my notes for this one yesterday, I was watching that game, and Adama Traore came on, who is an absolute...
He's someone who's too fast for his own good, almost.
Isn't he? But he is so big and so strong. But he gets past the defender, gets to the byline, and gets it into the danger area, which is exactly what Solly used to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Solly March is an enigma. We've seen him play so well, and see him be so underwhelming. And you just hope for him and the side that the good confidence side of him can rise to the can rise to the fore because he has been a great impact player. But I think that's the same thing with this team in general. After each game passes without a victory, you know, certain people will be decried by the fan base as being, oh, you know,
always have to have a
being rubbish. But you know, but like 3 weeks ago, people would have been screaming for them to be included. You know, and we've seen them do it. We've seen all these players do it. But I suspect that, you know, the pressure of the situation, you can't ignore it. You know, we are in trouble. We are in a scrap, and that is going to impact the players until they start scoring goals again.
It does make me laugh when you get, you know, the last 10, 15 minutes of a game, a team, you know, certain players come on, do really, really well, and think that actually that's because that's the team we should have started with. One, it depends on the opposition. Two, you have to bear in mind the opposition is now 75 minutes knackered and not going to run around. I'm thinking of when, I think it was March, and Moy absolutely bossed the right-hand side of West Ham, and we clawed it back to 3-3. You think, great, they're going to start. No, it doesn't quite work like that.
Scalotto.
You're quite right, thank you. Scalotto, yeah. And Scalotto has his detractors as well. It doesn't work that if someone's going to be brilliant for the last 15 minutes, because they can run themselves sick for 15 minutes and expend that level of energy rather than a 90 minutes worth of energy, then, you know, it's going to look better. And then you think, oh, he's got to start the next game. And no, that... Come on, think a little bit. The reason they did so well is because the defenders around them are absolutely cream crackered.
Yeah. Now, Andy, though, I mean, it was another point to the total, so that's a positive. The teams in and around us all lost, so that's a positive.
Yeah, it was a much happier Saturday for us yesterday. The other results all going our way was good. Getting a valuable point at a place where not many people are getting points.
Are they still in the Europa League?
Yeah. So this is not rubbish.
We're not talking about rubbish here.
It was a very good performance, and it was nice that they can take some positivity out of it, because we need it. We have to scrape any elements of positivity wherever we can.
Yeah, but Arsenal should be a shoo-in.
Well, you know, but yeah, ironically enough, I mean, we've got Arsenal, City, Liverpool, and United coming up at the Amex.
I can't see us getting nil poir out of that.
I think we're going to surprise some people, although, you know, really, you know, we haven't lost to United at home in the Premier League yet.
But it's a decent record against Arsenal.
In a little bit of reverse psychology kind of thing. I mean,
we're rubbish, therefore we'll lose.
We've been playing against, we have had this run against teams where you'd be expecting us to get points from. Hoping. The games we earmark, yeah, those are the ones where we should be picking up our points. And the teams that we've got points against this year are like Spurs, like Arsenal.
I was about to say, who saw an away win at Arsenal coming? Arsenal were flopping a little bit, maybe playing these
teams suits us better than playing teams where we have to scrap.
Yeah, to be honest, I've been thinking that this week, where I just think that there's like an occasion to be rised up to. We're playing teams that we're not expected to beat, and I think the crowd will be up for it. I mean, we need, you know, Tony put his message out this week about everybody getting behind the Albion, and these are the games where it's easier for the fans to actually get behind the team, because they're big, exciting occasions. Mm. I think we can do it. I think we can get some points out of those games.
Okay, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and here in the pub at the Hope and Ruin. This is the Reverbathon. We have got... Al, tell me about the Reverbathon.
Certainly will. Radio Reverb at 97.2 FM. Charita said 16. It's actually 13 years old. Since it got its permanent license, it's 13 years old, but its first license was 18 years ago. And like any, let's say, spotty teenager, we're funny, insightful, unpredictable, inventive, and occasionally downright willful. And we think we know everything. Well, we do. In order to keep Reverb fresh, continuous, and free of irritating advertisements, we're looking for sponsorship to help keep us going. We have to pay for rent, equipment, licenses, and we do actually undertake training. And that isn't free either. So to mark our anniversary, we are holding a Reverbathon. We're broadcasting live from the Hope and Ruin from 12 till 12 today. And if you'd like to help keep this brilliant community asset going, just go to radioreverb.com, hit the donate button, give us all your salary, or we'll tip you upside down and make sure the change comes rattling out that way, and do help keep us going, because this is a brilliant thing for the city to have.
And a few of you already have, of course, donated, so thank you to everyone. We've just hit the 200 quid mark to keep that going.
Fantastic.
And and those who have entered, who donated during that term, you will be in with a chance of winning the signed Brighton shirt as donated by Brighton Hove Albion Football Club, and a
nice bunch of flowers, and a bottle of champagne courtesy of Flowers Unlimited. You have until Friday the 13th of March, midday, to carry on donating in order to have a chance to win those shirts. But you can donate at any time during the year anyway. The donate button is there, large as life, on the website, and we're happy for you to hit it. But in order to win, have a chance of winning those prizes, then make sure your donation is in by Friday the 13th of March, midday.
And of course, we've had supplementary sponsors for our show today. We've had Butler's Wine Cellar.
Butler's Wine Cellar. Henry Butler, he has been... I tell you what, I don't know if it's his sort of like innate beautiful pinkness, but that bloke doesn't look as though he's been running wine shops for 40 years, but he certainly does. Yes, the Butler's Wine Cellar is a local independent wine shop which has recently completed 40 years of serving quality. Do you think he had a mullet then?
Probably.
It looks like you these days. Serving quality wines to the Brighton community. Come and see us in St George's Road and Queen's Park Road.
And we've also had Matt Cunliffe, also known as Matt the Plumber. You can contact Matt at Matt from Plum1, plumall.co.uk. He's also on Facebook, you'll find him there. And
Flowers Unlimited, David Costa, thank you very much. He's got a prize to give away, and he has so many gifts that you can buy from his shop in Portland Road in Hove. Flowers Unlimited, call 01273 796 000 or go to flowersunlimitedbrighton.co.uk. And finally, thank you, Dan Maskell of Finance Planning. If you want to know anything about mortgages, then go and see him. Go to www.financeplanning.co.uk. And finally, last but not least, we have to thank our good friend, well, not for just sponsoring us today, but for about the last 12 years, Phil Shelley of oldfootballshirts.com, who you reckon is halfway up, is in the air somewhere.
He's currently in Dubai at the moment.
Okay,
he's on his way back from Australia.
Busy importing some canary virus or some bushfires or something.
I don't know whether he bought a barbecue or a lawnmower back, but both are definitely possible.
Okay, but thank you, Phil, for your continued support. And anyone who has donated already, thank you for your kind support. Just go to radioreverb.com and hit the donate button.
Okay, we've got some donations to shout out. So thanks to Mark, to Anna, you have all, and to Jane, to Alison, you've all got tote bags, Radio Reverb tote bags.
Fantastic. We didn't know that.
You took us to our first 50 quid. We've got Rory in Ireland. Thank you to you. We've got Andrew in Oxfordshire. Thank you. We've all smashed the £200 mark.
Thank you very much. We've got Flowers Unlimited, Butler's Wines, oldfootballshirts.com, and Margarita.
Excellent.
Well done to everyone. Thank you so much for supporting Radio Reverb. Keep it coming. We're here live until midnight.
And we are. And we're live for another couple of minutes. And none of us are wearing masks. We were hoping for some other guests today as well, weren't we?
Now, yes.
One of them's over 80, so he's not allowed out of the house, apparently.
That is true. There's a whole load of stuff, but I'm with Jurgen Klopp on this. Andy, I hope you are too. If we're going to talk about coronavirus within football, let's leave it to the experts.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, that's that.
So with that, that is it for this very special Reverbathon version of the Albion Roar. Thank you to everyone who's donated. Please keep those going. Thank you to Alan Ware. Thank you to Andy Bass. I've been AD Packham. Thanks to everyone who's donated. Thanks to everyone who's sponsored this show. We'll be back at our regular time next week, and we'll see you then. Thanks. Bye.